Blog Talk Radio.
No rules?
Hell no, just do the damn thing. No rules.
Countdown.
Plus, five, we'll start adding people to the park.
Three.
You got a problem with it?
Six, one.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I was so excited when I was asked to be the host of the Every Woman Talk Show.
What is going on and why y'all making so much noise?
I think it's a forum where we get a chance to express everything.
I'm not a cynic. I'm a realist.
You are a realist masquerading as a cynic who is secretly an optimist.
You can't get one point of view. You have to get both points of view.
Hey, what? People going crazy over this?
Talk about all kind of things. So it's a show I think that everybody would like to listen to. So listen in.
Just do the damn thing.
Good evening, good evening. It is Tuesday night, once again, the Every Woman Talk Show. So glad to be back tonight. It's nasty out, so this is a good thing to do. Be home, call in, or listen in on our blog, you know, text us, whatever you need to do, but join into the conversation. It's really nasty out. I hope everybody gets home safe. So, as always, I sit around and I think about topics for the show, and, you know, some things come to me and some things take a little bit longer. But this one for me was a little bit, came from a movie everybody's been looking at, everybody's been going to see, and it's 50 Shades of Grey. So tonight it was 50 Shades of Uli. We're going to talk about sexual fetishes. We're going to talk about what women like, what men like, what you know, couples like. We'll talk about all that kind of stuff. And they, you know, it's crazy, but they have some really crazy fetishes that are out there. And there are some really normal, kind of plain Jane ones that some people still think are weird. And some people think are, like, crazy. And I'm like, I don't know why anybody would label anything crazy. If it's not your thing, it's just not your thing. But if it's somebody else's thing, let them do them. Mind your business and let them do them. Here's some ones that I had caught online. So we all know that, you know, sexual fetishes, and we all have been watching the 50 Shades of Grey, and that's more so like S&M or Satanism. They like the pain. Most of them like to give it, not so much receive it, but then there are a lot of them who like to receive it. I am really hoping that we have some open-minded people who are going to call in and listen into the show tonight and not be afraid to talk about their preferences when it comes to their sexual fetishes. Once again, this show, I can't see you. Our listeners can't see you. If you don't want to give your name, don't give your name, but definitely give your opinion. Definitely give some voice so we can know what's going on out in the world. I think I have somebody already on hold that was calling in, which I love because they beat me to the punchline. Nancy, who do I have on hold?
Well, I mean, I can find it behind the scenes. They have to hit the indicator, the one, when they call in, when they ask, we'll talk to the host. But I can find out. Okay. If you stand by, let me find out for you.
All right. We'll do a little bit more talking. We're going to find out if that person on hold wants to actually come in, if they just want to listen to the show, which is fine with me either way. You know, I'm just happy you guys are listening and calling in. For me, it means that you enjoy the show, and it means that we're doing something right here. All right, so we're talking about Satanism, or we're talking about S&M, and we're talking about things from the 50 Shades of Grey. I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was a good movie. However, I am more of a rated X kind of person. So the movie to me was boring in that aspect. Of course, we couldn't put it in the movie what was in the book, because then it would be a really X porn movie, and that's not, I guess, what they were trying to do. However, they made tons of money for what they did do. Yes.
Oh, yeah, Uli. Right now, you just got to. I mean, the board's lit up. You know, just right now, everyone's just listening and enjoying the show. So,
okay, great.
You know,
wonderful.
Well, let's just have fun with
it. We'll keep it like that for now. I'm sure somebody will call in and want to talk. So we'll keep it like that for now. We'll continue to talk about what we're talking about. Let's talk about some other fetishes. Let's talk about some easygoing things. We'll start at easy, and then maybe we'll get down to some hard stuff. people who like, who are in love with, fascinated with butts. Butts. And we're not just talking about men, we're talking about women too. There are some women and some, and we know men, who have a fetish about butts. Small butts,
yeah,
big butts.
Yeah.
Small butts, big butts, whatever. Round butts, flat butts, whatever. They have a fetish about butts. That's cool, I guess, you know. They're cool. I mean, that's what your thing is, you know. That's cool. Let's see some other stuff I read about. It was so funny because I was at work doing this online today. It was really funny. How about this? How about men who have a fetish for older women? Now, we're not talking about she's 50 and he's 35 or 20. We're not talking about that. We're talking about maybe 20-year-old to like 70-year-old women. And 60 still, no, I'm almost, you know, so we didn't go that far. We're talking about young men who like very, 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 very much older women. Some people call it nasty. Some people call it freaky. Some people call it disgusting. I mean, who are we to say that? You know, if he is an adult, we're not talking about kids and old women raping little kids. We're talking about an adult man whose preference is older women. Why is that disgusting? What's disgusting about that? Don't get mad because you walk down the street and she got something you may want, because it's not fair. If that's what he wants and that's what turns him on, just do your thing. Do what makes you happy. I don't think it's disgusting. I think it's cool. I think maybe she's teaching him something that we can't teach him, or maybe he thinks we can't teach him, or maybe he just likes saggy skin. I don't know. Shit, I don't know. Whatever the case may be, it's cool with me. Let's see some other stuff. How about men or women who prefer to watch someone having sex than to join in and having sex? Some people have that, the fetish for that. They just want to watch. They just want to see what's going on. They want to watch. Also, you have men and women who are hooked on pornography. Some of them prefer to watch it alone, and some prefer to watch it with their partner. Either way is cool with me. Unless, you know, like,
yeah,
I said, once
baby,
again.
Yeah.
So seriously, you know, once again, I am not here to judge anyone's personal preference of anything. If whatever turns you on, then I say go for it all the way or don't do it at all. Let's see some other things. Let's see. This is disgusting. This one is really disgusting. Body hair. How could you have a fetish for body hair? I think it's sexy when a man has hair on his chest. I don't have a problem with that. I think it's sexy even when, you know, he has hair on his legs or hair. I'm cool with all that. Am I in love with that? And I can't wait to touch it. Can't wait to see. No. So that, I think, is nasty. Body hair. We're talking about underarm hair, pubic hair. We're talking about, you know, just hair in general, body hair in general. That I would go as far as saying, no, that's some nasty shit right there. Y'all can have that. Here's something I think is, now, not disgusting, but I think it's weird. A shoe fetish. We're not talking about, oh, I love shoes, I'm going to go buy shoes. I'm talking about a man who loves women's shoes, who can't wait to buy the woman a pair of shoes to see what they look like on their feet, not because they love the woman now, not because they want to pamper the woman, because they're so freaked out over shoes, women's shoes. I guess they can't put them on themselves, so what do? Turn it on to the women. I don't really know what the problem is. I'm not a doctor. I'm just saying, for me, that's a little weird. It's a little weird. It's a little weird for me. If a man continuously buys me shoes and nothing else, we're going to have to sit down and talk and have a conversation. What about feet? People have a fetish about feet. I know it's funny because my sister has the tiniest feet in the world. The tiny 6.5. Who is a 6.5? And she says the men that she meets, they always say, oh, you have pretty feet. Oh, you have pretty feet. There is such a thing called pretty feet and ugly feet. But people who have fetish for feet don't care what they really look like, they just have a thing for feet. So for me, that's a little, I guess that doesn't bother me as much. I guess it's kind of like it's whatever, you know, like some people like to rub your feet. Some people will not touch feet at all. Some people are like, I'm not, like my stepdaughter will not, she'll paint my fingernails and drop the day, will not touch my feet. So I'm like, okay, that's cool. I couldn't be a person that did pedicures, but I couldn't touch everybody's feet in the world either. That would be kind of like nasty. Here's another one. Let's see. Tattoos and piercings. Some people are aroused by the, you know, the sight of tattoos and piercing. Some men get aroused by the piercing of women's breasts or their clitoris. Or me, I think it's sexy for a woman to do that. I think it's really, really sexy. I don't think I want to see a piercing on a man's penis, though. I think I could pass on that one. So they get aroused by I love tattoos. I love the way they look on men. I like the way they look on women, too, as long as they're not, like, overdone and all over the body. I think, you know, if they're tastefully done, I really, really like the way tattoos look. I think it's an expression of who you are. Underwear. Men who have a fetish with women's underwear. I don't know if that's a problem. I think, I don't know. Okay, let's say how deep that goes. How deep could that possibly go? Stealing my underwear? It's a little freaky, it's a little weird. Buying me underwear because you want to see me in nice underwear, I don't think that's a problem. But when you're stealing my underwear or smelling dirty underwear and shit like that, that shit is too much for me. That's a little bit too much. That's a little way, way, way too much. Yeah. And you know you got people who do that. You know you have people, it doesn't have to be their girl. It can be a stranger. They're so hooked on it that they do that. You know, like we see it on TV all the time. Well, where are you getting TV from? They get it from some real life shit. Let's see what else. I really wanted to wait to get into some real hardcore stuff when some people had the nerve to call in and start talking and asking questions. But clearly tonight is not one of those nights. So I guess we can just jump into some other stuff. So when we say fetishes, do we think fetishes are bad? Do we think they are secretive? Do we need to keep them a secret? Or, you know, because when we say, you know, our personal sexual fetishes, for some people they think it's a behind closed door, nobody should know about it unless it's the person they're doing it with. Well, when you have an open book about who you are, then it shouldn't matter what people think about you or how they feel about the choices you make in life. We all know I'm an open book. I really could care less what anybody thinks, says, or feels about me. Do I love, you know, I love to be loved? Absolutely. I think everybody does. But when it comes to my personal real life shit, I really don't care what anybody says or what they think about me. Here's what's funny to me. A man would say to you, oh, I knew you could do that. Oh, I knew you would be good at that. Well, I knew you were going to do that. How do you determine those things? How do you know that she's going to be good in bed? How do you know she's going to be able to suck good? How do you know she's going to be good? How do you know? I want to hear that, too. When we're talking about these sexual fetishes, I want to, like, open the door. Let's just talk. Like, I need to know these things, or are they just saying it because they have shit else to say out their mouth and they just say it? Like, what is it really about? Like, we know that men say whatever they need to say just to get in. We know that. But some of them are very sincere with some of the things they say, and I want to know, where is all this coming from? Is there something that she does, her walk, her dialect? I don't know. What is it that makes you be able, that you can look at her and say, oh, she's a freak. Oh, yeah, she probably will do this, or, yeah, she'll probably do, because for us, we can't see that in men. We don't, for me anyway, I don't see that. Like, I can't say, oh, yeah, I know he'll eat pussy. I don't know any women that can say that, but, and if you can, please tell me how y'all know, because I don't know. But, like, we had this conversation last week, it's not a big deal for me, but, like, how do you determine these particular things about the person you may be interested in or attracted to? Are you afraid of their sexual fetishes? And how do you address them with the new person that you're involved with? If you have something really kinky that you want to experience, how do you bring that out? How do you do it without them feeling disrespected, or, you know, it's just one of them things with just me, you wouldn't fight as anybody else, you just don't care about me. What do you do? How do you do that? Like, how open, or when is the time to be that open to express those things? Or do we wait to get married and only do that with our significant other? I guess for me, and I say this all the time, my relationship is 92% sexual. Everything else we can work out. So I don't want to wait till we are married and bought a house and living together to realize we are not sexually compatible, that we're missing something. Because then somewhere down the line, we may not be able to get that. And then what do? Do you stay? Or do you leave? Or do you cheat? Like, what do? How do you do that? How do you make that work? You know, I need some people to call in, tell me what you're thinking about this conversation and where we go with it. And I really want to know, like, is it okay for women if we are the ones who have that sexual fetish that we want to do, and is it okay with men if we tell you? Or will the majority of men say, oh, yeah, she does this with everybody, or this is, you know, she's a this or she's a that. You know, these are things that at 50 I think should be a lot easier to talk about than to be more private about, because now we've been there and done these things already, you know. Like, so why are we so afraid to be so open with our partners that we're with or the new people that we're dating? Why is it so difficult to experience and explain to them what we want without being put on a label on who we are? Nass, what you think about this conversation?
Well, I mean, it depends. I mean, you said a lot. I mean, which part? I mean, you said a lot. So what,
I mean,
part
what do you think about
first?
When we're talking about our sexual desires? And necessarily doesn't have to be a fetish for me, because a desire to me could be the same as a fetish. You love it, you love it, you love it, you need it, you want it, you need it, and you want it. That's a desire as well. So how do you think you address that? So you've been married for quite some time, but how do you address these things when it's something you are desiring and you're not sure if your partner is going to be or is going to receive it well? You know, what do we do?
Well,
the
first thing, you got to have communication. You have to. I mean, that's the most important aspect of any relationship, whether you're married, whether you're getting to know somebody, or whether you're just trying to, I guess, court. You gotta be up front. I mean, if you have these fetishes or these desires, you gotta put it up front. I mean, I just think it's, you know, these guys be killing me. Get involved with
like,
these not to be up front.
But I mean,
it's gotta be had.
Sit
I mean,
down
it's
and have
had.
A dinner, have a conversation. Like, listen, I want you to put your finger in my butt tonight. Like, how do? What I'm saying is, what do we just?
Well, first of all, you talking about the man asking my finger in his butt?
No, I'm just saying in general. And, well, if a man asked me that, we would have some questions prior to and after and during, and we may not even get to that point. But what I'm saying is, like, when the moment is there, do you try to grasp that moment then? I mean, we're not talking about, like no crazy, off the wall, off the chain, like, I'm strapping your ass down with a bunch of, you know, this and that, and I'm going to beat you. That's some shit you need to talk about. You not be beating on my ass unless I know the beating is coming. Now, we need to discuss these things.
Yeah, you got to put up front. I mean, it's like, if he wants to do that, I mean, I guess you got to be up front. When you get to that point, your guys want to get into that sexual aspect of it, you got to be up front about it, because you don't need no surprises in the middle of it. You know, his previous
girlfriend.
Well,
let me ask you this. How many times in your sexual life that you've been sexual with women have you said up front, I'm about to spank your ass. I'm about to hit your ass. Oh, I'm about to choke you. I don't think anybody does that. I think it's the spirit of the moment. It's a moment of intense, and that's what you're going to do right then. I don't think we discuss that.
What?
Or
I mean, I think they should personally. I mean, they just start doing it without no warning signs, or as Kevin Hart said, establish some safety words. You know, it can go really left wing. I mean, you know,
yes,
I would strongly recommend a man say something.
But my point I was making just now was
start choking
these
a woman. Come
simple
on.
Things.
Yeah.
These simple things. You thinking my ass may not be an issue for me, but you thinking Patricia's ass. Patricia might not go for that shit. But what I'm saying is, you have done these things without any conversation whatsoever, because some people think it's normal, or it's, you know, so-and-so liked it, so maybe, you know, so-and-so's going to like it too. That's not necessarily true. What every woman likes, every woman don't want. So, you know, those simple little things like that, like choking me, or not, let me just stop saying me, choking and you know, smacking me on my ass, or, you know, grabbing my hair, and those simple little things like that are a part of Satanism. However, those are not discussed right before you have sex or during dinner or while recording. Like, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do to you on Monday. Monday, I'm going to spank your ass like Ken. You know what I'm saying? We don't do those things. So if we can do those things like that, should we be afraid to, I guess, experience more without the verbalization of it? Or do you really think it's necessary? Or do you need to know your partner first? And you need to know that your partner's going to be down for whatever. And if not, then you do have a partner that you need to have these conversations with. I think that's probably what it's more about.
I mean, it's definitely good. I mean, I agree with you. I think it's definitely got to be a point of you got to know your partner. I mean, it's not like out the sky blue. You're like, hey, let's try this evening. I mean, you got to have some time. I mean, I guess the question is, how much time should you have with a person before you start bringing up those crazy fetishes you may have?
Right.
Is there signs?
And do you not do it because you're afraid of? See, for women, is very different, because men are like, and it's unfortunate, but come on, listen, we know it's a double standard. We know this. But if he says to me he wants a menage a trois, that's not asking. I mean, I'm not saying do it. I'm just saying, like, you would not be so surprised if a man said it to you. But if a woman says that to a man, that's like, what? Like, bitch, are you crazy? You want me to watch you and have another nigga? No, we can't do that. So why is it okay for us to do it then? Why is it all right? Why is it okay for us to act out all your sexual fantasies and all your sexual desires, but when it comes to women, we have to be stagnant or put on a back burner because of your own manhood or your ego or your whatever it is that, you know, that's keeping you from satisfying us? It's so not fair, and I say it all the time. It's like, if I say menage a trois with another girl, you're down. But if I say menage a trois with another dude, you're not. So once again, you're still being unfair, because it's still for you. It's still for you.
Well, I mean, you know, you got some men who ask that, then, you know, do you have, I mean, I'm not putting nobody I know business out there. I'm just saying that it's been reversed. You know, some men been surprised. You know,
I'm not saying none of them do. Oh, yeah.
A certain person, he got a shock of his life and he got switched around. You know.
I'm sure he did.
I don't know what to say about that one, but
I think for men, they're afraid of the ego thing of he might be doing it better than I, or he may be larger than I, or he may be, so we don't even want to go there. But what do you think, women? We don't have our own hangups. We don't have our own hangups. Like, you know what? He might like her breast better than mine. Oh, she might have a better ass than me. Oh, she might do that a little bit better than me. You don't think we have our own hangups to those things? We do. We all do. But for some reason, we put our fear to the side to satisfy our man, our husband, or whatever it is, you know, whatever case it may be. But, I mean, just talking about sexual desires and sexual fetishes, it's so crazy, because you cannot look at a person and know how freaky. I don't give a shit what she got on. The hoest, sluttiest chick's dress is the worst bitches in bed. So don't think for 1 minute because of what she's dressed like that you can determine whether or not that's going to be a good lay or not, because that's not true. It's so not true. I hear it all the time. I hear it all the time from all my male friends that I know. No, not her. See, that was busted. That was tied. Because you thought, because she was dressed so sexual and so sexy, and, you know, she talk a good game, that was going to be the bomb diggity. And then when it comes out, she's really not that person. It's them schoolgirl glasses with the little ponytails pinned up and the little, those ones you better watch out for. Those ones you better watch out for. Now, if you know what I'm talking about. Those ones you better watch out for. You know, and it's like, I just don't think in our time right now that anybody should be afraid to experience anything with their significant other. And I'm not talking about just random ass niggas or random ass chicks. I'm talking about people that we are in relationships with, people who we are. If that's your sexual partner, if that's the person that you are involved with, that you shouldn't be afraid to say to them, you know what, I'm not getting it. I need this. You know what I'm saying? Or I like it like this, or I want it like this, and I need more of that. Why are we so afraid to have these conversations? Clearly we're afraid to have these conversations. We can't even get no calls to call in and talk about it.
Well, actually, you have a caller on. You have
they
the one and only
Miss
Lady J calling in.
I told you, nobody but Nancy and Jackie.
Well, the board is lit up. We have quite a few callers calling from Atlanta. I'm looking at the boards now. We have
Atlanta,
we have
house.
New York. We have
and my New York people in the house.
Like,
my Bronx people in the house.
You got Kansas is online, but
Kansas.
Yeah, the boards is lit up. I mean, you know, I checked behind the scenes. You people said they just want to be part of just listen to the show. So without no further ado, let's bring in Lady J.
If you change your mind, come on in. Right now, I'm going to talk to my girl Jack. Hey,
hello.
Jacqueline. Miss 50 Shades of Grey herself.
That's the 50 Shades of Jay.
I know that's right. Hey, that's Goldberg, girl. What? I don't know if you heard what we were talking about, because I know you're just getting off.
Well, I actually heard the comment about the schoolgirl tape behind the glasses. Those are the ones that
right.
you have to worry about. I said, why is she talking about me?
Girl, listen. And I'm not trying, believe me, I'm not saying that our sexy, beautiful, wonderful sisters don't put it down, because we do. We do. I'm just saying those quiet girls are a little more reserved on the outside, and then they just let loose when they're able to. You know?
I think for that, it's a situation of, you know, I think more quiet, more reserved outside women or girls are, you know, that whole thing of you're taught to be a lady. So you're always a lady. You don't necessarily talk about what you do and how you do it. You know, you go in your windows, you throw hints, you say this, you act this way. You know, you put your hands to your chest when you laugh. It just so happens that your hand always lands between your breasts. So it's little shy, coy things like that. And I think the reason why the schoolgirl type or the accountant type or school teacher type or social worker type get that kind of attention, because it's like, you know what, you know, I just want to kind of peel her back and I want to, you know, turn her out. But
not knowing. Right.
You know, I think that we have to just be confident in who we are, how we are, and, you know, especially when you're in a relationship, there's no room for judgment, you know. There's no room for, ew, you like that? Well, what do you mean, ew? Or, oh, you really want
but,
me
but
to
what,
do that
but what's ew, though? I mean, and if it's not something for you, then just say, you know what, babe, that ain't even my thing. I can't, you know, I just can't get down like that. You
or
know,
I'm
like, don't judge him.
There's a lot of things that I would have never thought that I would like. There are things that if you had told me at 20 or 30, because I'm now a beautiful 48, and if you'd have told me there were some things at 40 that I would like at 48, I would have given you the kiss my, you know what. You know, I'm not doing that. I don't get down like that. And you know what? It just becomes about expression. Growth. It becomes about expression. And, you know, there are times in your life when, you know, sometimes you're just brought into something and you're like, oh, wow, I like that. I mean, there are days when I sit and I say, wow, I can't believe I really like that. Like, and I'll
But you know what? And that's what this whole conversation is about. It's not about what other people think or how other people perceive it. It's all about what it's your sexual fetish, your sexual desire. It's what you want. It's what you want. Now, if you find the other person that you're involved with that's going to allow you to express yourself for who you are, then you're good. Then you're absolutely good.
But that's the key to it all, is being able to find that partner, you know, who is open. A lot of us, I have a dear friend who is in a relationship, a committed relationship, and can't be himself. You know, he can't do the things that he'd really like to do. He can't even say the things he'd really like to say. But, you know, around other people, he can. You know, so the thing is that, you know, when you decide that you're going to be in a relationship with someone, you know, it's everything. You have to look at everything on the table, and your sexuality, your intimacy with that person is how you connect with that person. So if you can't be you and really be expressive and just kind of be able to be yourself, it kind of puts a damper on that whole intimacy. And that intimacy is not really what it's supposed to be. And then, hence, we find ourselves going someplace else to get something else. You know, and I think a lot of times, you know, I think women have come a long way. Women have come a long way with being
able to express
their sexuality and what they want and how they want it. But, again, I still think that, you know, a lot of women are still in a box.
Right. So we had talked about some of the sexual fetishes that are very common and very not out of the box before you had got on the line. And we're talking about women, men who like women's underwear, to smell their underwear. We're talking about body hair. We were talking about feet. We were talking about shoes. We were talking about tattoos. We were talking about, what I did mention was a crazy one, was people who have a fetish over dead bodies, who would like to have sex with dead bodies. I think that's
necrophilia. Necrophilia.
People who like to watch other people having sex, or just like to see naked bodies in general. And then we have people who like to be peed on, or who like to pee on people, or, you know, I mean, there's just so many different crazy sexual things that, and we also talk about men who like older women and butts and, you know, all kind of stuff. But, you know, I guess the point of me having the show was to make it fun to talk about and open up about what we like to do and not being wrong for anybody, because if it's your thing, it's your thing.
Well, fetishes usually come from something else. So it's like if you have if a man has a butt fetish, you know, 9 times out of 10, when he was younger, it was somebody behind. He saw, whether it was in porn or whether it was a magazine or whether, you know, it was a girl in the gym. And, you know, fetishes take root from somewhere else. So, you know, what's interesting is that fetishes are deeply rooted in psychological terms and issues. So, you know, that's why I say, you know, behaviors that people choose to engage in, that's their thing. And, you know, we never know where it comes from or why it comes, or, you know, but I never like
if it's not harmful, right? If it's not a harmful thing, then let them do them. Like Nancy and I were talking about, and I don't know if you were online, we were talking about how do you address it when it's something you want to experience with that person? Like, how, you know, do you just jump in and be like, do this, you know, I want to do that. And he was like, no, you know, sometimes you talk. I said, you know what, that's funny you say that, because there are times, and I'm sure every chick in the world has probably been smacked on her ass. You never told me you was going to smack me on my ass. You never said, okay, Monday night during sex, I'm going to smack your ass. And Tuesday, I'm going to choke your ass. And then Thursday, I'm going to pull your damn hair. So, no, I don't think
we can
every
do all that
little
one night.
Thing.
I need all that in one night.
No, but my point I'm making is I don't think every little fetish or desire needs to be set down and discussed and have a contract.
I think it depends on the partner, though, because some people, you have to know your partner. And, you know, some people, you can't spring stuff on them. You can't, you know.
We discussed that already. I said to them, we just discussed that. I said, because you smacked my ass, doesn't mean when you start dating Sarah that Sarah's okay with you smacking her ass. Because it doesn't necessarily mean that we all like the same thing, because we don't.
It's true,
do not like the same thing.
Okay, but also, too, the flip side of that is he doesn't ever smack Sarah's ass. He doesn't know if Sarah likes it. You know what I mean?
That's the point I'm making. Do you need to have these conversations, or do you just jump in and do these things?
I think it depends on what it is. I think it's just like anything else. There are degrees to everything. Smacking my ass is not the same as choking me.
But that's what you say. That's what you say. That doesn't necessarily mean the next chick feel the same way. Like you said,
that's not what I'm saying.
No, what I'm saying to you, if you just said today, if someone would tell you right now, 48, that you would like X, Y, and Z, you would never believe it.
No.
But someone did it to show it to you, and you said, oh, shit, okay, yeah,
right.
That's cool.
Right,
like that.
Absolutely. And that's what I'm saying.
Now, but he did not talk to you. But wait a minute. But he did not say to you, okay, so, Jackie, I'm coming over tonight. And we're going to blah, blah, blah.
We didn't talk about it like that, but there are some things that were shown to me that weren't done to me. So there are different ways to introduce things.
There were what? What'd you say? I'm sorry.
They were shown to me. They were shown to me. So whether it was via a movie, whether it was via porn, whether it was via a magazine or whatever, they were shown to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, it was like, it's still a way of communicating. We just didn't sit down and have an analytical conversation, but it was still communicated to me before it was done to me. And then there are some things that were just done to me, and it was waiting for the reaction to see how I would respond. So it's all, and that's what I mean about knowing your partner. If your partner
that is the whole point of this conversation. You just said you wouldn't know Sarah liked it if you didn't try it. You don't always know your partners. You don't always know them, because sometimes we have hidden things inside that we are afraid of revealing because we don't want to be put on a label or, oh, she did it with that person, or you just did that. So we keep some of that stuff bottled up inside. Because we don't want him or we don't want her to think, oh, I'm just a damn trick-ass bitch. I'm going to try and do anything. So sometimes Sarah might have wanted that shit but wouldn't tell you because she didn't know what to say. So we don't always know our partners enough to say, you know what, she'll be okay with this. Or you know what, he won't be okay with that. You know, just you know, and for instance, like me and Nancy were laughing. I said, you know, put your finger in the ass. And he said, who, she, the guy? I said, that's just it. That's just it. If she don't care and she all right with him having that, then who are we to fucking judge that shit? It's okay with her, because that's what he wants, and she gonna do it for him.
Hell no.
Hell no for you, and hell no for your wife. But who says it might not?
You're getting choked. You tell me you're choked. You get finger near the butt, you're getting choked, man. No.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Oh, I'm not going to try to make this personal. I'm gonna try to keep it as a general conversation.
Oh, God.
I don't want to know. I don't even want to have a visual of you and your wife. I don't even want to have a visual.
Oh,
but,
gosh.
Mm. Okay, let's not say finger. Let's not even put the finger in the ass. Let's just split the ass.
Let's just say that.
There you go. You don't like that.
Wait,
you don't
I
like that. Hold on. You don't like that, but some men like that shit. There are a lot of men who like that shit. A lot of men like that shit because it feels good.
Well, off to the dark side he goes.
There you go. That's my point. That's my point.
And
that's his dark side. And who are we to judge his dark side?
Well, it's all about personal preference.
Well, it's all dark. It's all dark back there.
It is.
Too damn
you know
dark
what?
Back
Hold up. Everything that we have discussed right now is he's absolutely right. It would be listed under sexual deviance. And in class, that's how we learned about all of these things. We learned about fetishes and everything else. They're listed under sexual deviance, which means generally that these are all deviant. These are all things that are not, quote, unquote, of the norm. But who is to set the standard of the norm? And everybody's norm.
We all know what the norm is. Norm is missionary, get your shit, get off. That's it. That's norm.
But again, in psychology, you know, everybody's norm is different, and that's why it's called abnormal psychology, because everybody's threshold is different. Everybody's tolerance is different. Everybody's idea is different. I make a joke, and I always say, you know, people belong in two boxes when we're talking of sexuality. You know, either you're a voyeur or you're an exhibitionist. Now, I never say that those boxes don't intertwine, because they absolutely do. I don't know if you guys remember Venn diagrams when we were in school, where it's like you had a circle over here and a circle over here, and then the two circles intertwine, which made another little circle in the middle. And people go back and forth in between those two things. Well, it's the same thing with anything sexual. You can have the prissy over here, and then you can have the deviant over here. But then at some point when these two people meet, those circles can intertwine, and some of his deviant becomes normal, and some of her prissy becomes deviant, and they can have an amazing, amazing sexual relationship. It all really becomes about what you are willing to be open to. And sometimes, you know, the things that we think that we may not be open to, you'd be surprised.
You'd be very surprised.
You could be open to. And again, I think it's important that, you know, if sexuality is, if sex is a big part of your relationship, and I don't knock that. I don't knock that at all. Then you need, it is important, it is imperative that you find a partner who has a drive like your drive and who is open like you're open, which means that all along the course of your journey, of your relationship, you guys are going to be able to have new experiences that either neither of you had, or you're going to be able to share this experience with this partner because this partner's never had this experience. And when you find a partner who is open, I mean mentally open, to say, okay, let's try this, there is no label.
That's the whole thing. The problem with relationships is that right there. There are a lot of men who experience things with the outside woman that they won't experience with the wife or the main girl or whatever, because they feel like it's degrading her. It's degrading. You know,
right. That's not who you want to bring home to your mother. You know, it's like, you know, I need a lady. I need a certain type of woman to bring home to my children.
You also need to be satisfied, and that goes both ways. Women don't want to take a man into the house and be like, oh, yeah, he's just a sexual man. He's just a sex, you know. We don't want that either. But when we close our door, we want to be able to connect, and the outside world has nothing to do with what we like and what we don't like and what we prefer. Like, you know, it's just funny. Like, I have a girlfriend who said to me, and I know I talked about this on the show before. She said to me, you know, cheating, cheating, ass husband. So I said, well, what is it? You know, what do you, not to say all fucking men don't do it, we're not man-bashing. I'm just saying this particular couple, I'm like, well, what do you think the problem was, you know, outside of just, you know, whatever. And she said, I said, what are the things that you guys do sexually? And we had a very open conversation about it. And, you know, what are the things that you guys don't do? You know, what do you think you're missing? And she said, well, I don't like to suck dick. I said, okay, well, you know, that's not your thing. I get it. You know, I said, but it is his thing. Yeah, he really likes that. I said, well, then you got to think about some things here now. This is not your boyfriend. It's not some dude you just met. This is your husband. So you need to go get you a videotape and watch it and learn how to make it your thing. If that's
well,
your
she could
husband,
call me.
If that's his thing, I tell a bitch every day, I take game classes twice a week. But if it's, and I'm not saying you are obligated to do any of it. I'm just saying if you want to plead, that ain't some hard ass shit. That's not really like, that's some easy ass shit. And it's not like it's degrading. It's really not. What is a big deal
about
stuff?
You know what? Again, it goes back to a lot of sexual hangups, sexual deviance. It all goes back to how you're raised and how your perceptions are.
And that was the problem. But let's go back into the story real quick. You're absolutely right. It was about how she was raised. So she was like, oh, my God, I can't. I said, you can't. You really can't. I said, well, I'll tell you what. Try. If you can't, you really honestly can't. But you can't say, listen, babe, I try. I just can't. You know what I'm saying? But if you're just going to say, I'm not doing it, I'm just not going to, I don't care what you want, what you like. So I said this to her, well, does he do everything? And you're like, yeah, he does everything I ask him to do. He does everything I like. I said, okay, fine. So she goes and she gets a little video. She watches her little video and she goes and, you know, she tries to do whatever she, you know, whatever. And that nigga stayed home every single night.
Wow.
And it probably wasn't the best head he ever had because she's just learning.
But it's from my wife now.
It was from my wife. It was what I wanted, what I was looking out. For you to cheat and go get some head is the dumbest shit in the world, but there's some stupid-ass niggas out here that will do it. But she made him happy for that time. I'm not saying he probably didn't cheat again. We're just talking about right now, in a moment, he was satisfied. What?
Right.
You going to try to do what? We going to do this? What? Oh, okay. Well, I'm coming home every night then. Because it wasn't really what he was looking for in the street. It was what he was desiring that he was missing.
Right, at home. The thing is that, you know, sometimes there are, just like there are emotional barriers that we have to knock down walls with our significant others, people who are in relationships with, there are also sexual barriers that we have to overcome. And I think, unfortunately, women are just bombarded with sexual barriers, sexual hang-ups, sexual labels. And it's almost as if we, for centuries, women were, quote-unquote, not allowed to enjoy.
To experience.
Mm-hmm. And to, you know, mm-hmm. to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And the only women who enjoyed sex
were
women who were
prostitutes
and whores and things of that nature. And, you know, it's just as of late that we've been bombarded with the images and the ideas and the notions that, you know what, it's really okay for us to enjoy what we do and how we do. Unfortunately, you know, I think media is just kind of now throwing it in our faces
mm-hmm.
and, you know, throwing it all over the place. And now it's still like, oh, you know, everybody can be a whore. Everybody can be loose.
Right.
But
right.
I think the thing is that.
But is that the title what it is, though? Why do we have to be a whore? Why do we have to be loose? Because we have desires
because
that maybe the other one won't want.
Because still, in no matter what, when it comes down to who this man is going to marry, who he's going to bring home, who's going to raise his children, it's not Loose Linda from Lincoln Street. You know, you want Nice Nancy from Nelson Place. So it's still
you want Nice Nancy from Nelson Place, who is going to bore you to death, but you still don't go tip over to Linda on Lindsay.
Because society says that that's okay. Society
we're talking about in a real world. Real world now, we know all this is a myth. All this is just bullshit.
No, it's really. It's really
know,
not. People still
really
live
is.
By this.
It
people
really
still
is.
Live
we're,
by this.
We're talking about the world we live in right here. Let me tell you something. Right now, the men we are around, Nancy is cool and she's wonderful and everything, but what they really want is a whole package. They want a whole package. So
they
Nancy
do,
be,
and they
Nancy
don't.
Can be, Nancy can be the sweetest, loving person on the outside, but when they come home, they do not want Nancy. They want Nancy. So, yeah, of course, society still has the image of Leave It to Beaver shit, but reality is you don't necessarily have to have, we, like I said earlier today, the chick who walks around in a club with half-ass naked is not necessarily the best fuck you're going to get in the club. She's probably a lazy-ass fuck. All it is an image. The chick sitting in the corner that's chilling with her friend, the same group of friends, who is very reserved, is probably going to be your best fuck. And yes, when you take her home to mommy, she's going to love her and all that kind of good stuff, but everything else is great, too. Everything else is great, too, and that's who you want to look for.
But you know what? Also, too, let's just call a spade. A lot of times, and I don't want to just talk about men. And, and actually for me, you know, this goes both ways. You know, yeah, you want the dude who looks like he can, you know, go all night, blah, blah, blah. You want the chick.
Wait, let me finish. What you just said, we just talked about that earlier today. How do you look at a man and say he can go all night? Because I'm at 50, and I've been in every club and every city and every I can't look at a man and be like, that's a good fuck, right? That nigga's going, I can't do that.
Well, I never do that. I never do that. For me,
right.
The most I'm going to say is if a man is attractive, I'd be jokingly, I'd be like, oh,
He can get it.
For some women, it is, you know, by the way a man stands, by the way a man walks, some of the game he spits, you know, some of the things that come out of his mouth, you know, we're quick to believe, you know, everything that's said or whatever. Or some men actually have reputations that precede them. Whatever the case may be.
Reputation
I
is
think,
different. Reputation, that means there is some truth behind what someone, because someone has
reputation
had
means absolutely
that
nothing to me
with.
Because the other 35 women that works for, that doesn't work for me because I'm very
well,
unique and I'm out the box.
If you have
so
a,
I'm not going to go by reputation.
Well, if you have
so,
a reputation that precedes you and you have multiple women saying the same thing, some truth is in that. Now, we're not talking about one chick here. Well, we're talking about somebody who has multiple
well,
women you've heard.
First of
I
all,
want him anyway.
You,
I want him anyway. But I
you
want
know,
him anyway. But I'm just saying that for me, looking at a person means nothing to me.
But that's
you
for you. And
body
a lot of
in
people,
the world.
A lot of people go by, I mean, because the thing is, when you're attracted to somebody anyway, you're not attracted to their mind because they didn't open their damn mouth and say anything. You're attracted to what they look like. Every attraction is usually a physical attraction unless you met someone online and you're chatting with them online.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, it is a physical attraction. So you're looking at somebody and you're making some assessments. You're sizing that individual up. We all have done it. But I think what happens is that we are lazy. I think we've also become a society that's lazy when it comes to dating and getting to know people. And, yep, I want the girl with the sexy-ass body. I want the girl with half her clothes off because that means she don't mind taking them off. I want the dude who look like his shit hangs down to his knee or he walk in here and he talk a good game and everybody else looking at him, I want him too. So now it becomes that's what we're – so now we're not looking for the – cool girl type. We're not looking for the quiet, reserved type because you're thinking, oh, I want the whole package. Because a lot of times, people aren't looking for the whole package when they start looking. It's just that most attractions are physical.
They're not looking for a package at all, right.
And what happens is that getting to know that individual is like, oh, well, she do this and she do that. Oh, she don't do this and she don't do that. Okay, so I'm back out here and I'm back to looking and I'm, you know, and it becomes about really what that person wants with at that point in their life. And when you're looking to settle down, you're going to look for the quote-unquote settle down type. When you're looking to have some fun, you're going to look for the quote unquote have some fun type. And I don't care what anybody says. Okay, and that's fine, but you got and I can go and dig up some shit for you.
You
still
dig up
have women.
You want to dig up.
There's still women.
Your statistics mean nothing.
No,
absolutely
nothing. What?
Absolutely nothing.
This,
it means nothing.
Based on,
my
and
point
again,
I'm making
this,
to you is all men don't always look for the settle down type or the fun party type. Some men are just looking for the person that they can, one, communicate with, two, they do have a sexual, because if you're already, if you're looking, you're dating, you're courting. So you already fucking. So you already know what that person is going. Oh, come on. We have this conversation on every fucking show we have. Nobody courts without fucking. Let's be realistic here. All that 90-day rule doesn't work for everybody. And if it does, I'm with you 100%. But we're talking about majority, not minority. So when we're talking about right now, we ain't talking about that. We're talking about right now, 2015.
Okay, I want to nasty. When certain men, and maybe you can text somebody and ask somebody, because I think when men are at different points in their life, they're looking for different things. If they know, like, you know what, I'm ready to settle down. Are they looking for a particular type of person?
Of course they don't want a party, girl. We're not talking about
that. That's what I just said.
That.
But that's
I'm
exactly
not talking
what
about
I just
not,
said.
They're not talking about what I'm saying to you is, it doesn't have to be that quiet little reserved person either.
That's not
I'm
what I'm
party
saying.
Person, but I'm damn sure not that quiet reserved kind of person either. I'm totally not that person.
But you are not that
party.
Fun girl either. You're not that
absolutely,
fun girl.
Absolutely, that's what I'm saying. As
but that's exactly what I
the
just
party girl,
said. That's
but not
exactly
the
what I just
girl
said.
Either. They're looking
that's
for the person that has the package. So the package
I think
is,
some men are
and
some men aren't. Because you don't know who the package is.
Well, we can sit here and discuss this all night and have the completely different views of it because we're two different people. So that's just the way
absolutely.
That goes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's the way that goes. But and yet, what the point of the show was that we should be able to open up with either the person you just sleeping with, your husband, your significant other, or who, you know, anybody that you are intimate with. I don't think there should be any shame in the things that we desire that we want to do. Any things that we possibly can have, we at this point in our lives should be able to say, you know what, you know, I like this. You think we could try this? And if you try it and if somebody doesn't like it, you can't be upset if that's not that person's thing. You got to let it go then if that's not that person's thing.
Okay, so now let me ask this question. If, say, for instance, there's something that I really like that really, really, really gets me off sexually. And
like
my
what?
Partner.
Like what? Like what?
Whatever. It doesn't matter.
Just
it doesn't matter.
Throw anything out there. Throw anything out there. Anything.
Choking, threesomes, whatever
okay,
it is.
Choking.
I don't think the thing matters. I don't think the thing matters. I think the issue
but it
is
matter,
that.
Because it does
let me
matter.
Finish,
well,
I have to finish the scenario first.
Go ahead.
I think the issue is that if whatever it is that it gets me off sexually, my partner does not want to do, does not want to try, but it's very, very, very important to me. It's just, it's one of those things that really, truly, truly, truly gets me off. But this, my partner doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to try. He doesn't want to do anything about it.
What do you do?
So therefore, but you're saying if your partner doesn't want to do it,
That's not what I said.
I'm asking a question.
I said, you should try whatever your partner is asking you. However, if it's not something that's going to bring joy to them too, then you have to let it go. You can't make somebody do something they don't enjoy too.
Okay,
but yes,
now.
You should definitely
excuse me,
try.
Let's go.
We ain't asked.
Ladies, listen, you got
yes,
you coming to tell in the show. I love a heated show. Got a minute closing out.
All right, we'll close it out. Yeah, do I have to actually close it out because you came in late? I'll close out for you, honey.
No. Mine is just open up, you know, open up, let people know what you like. You don't like it, you don't like it. You just understand that sometimes if you don't want to do it, somebody else will.
But, and my thing is, like, we were trying to get to, you know, open up, express the things that you like. Every partner should try to please the other partner for whatever it is. However, if that person is not enjoying it, now I don't understand why somebody wouldn't enjoy it, because if it's pleasing that person, it should bring joy to you too. But if it doesn't, sometimes we have to take a sacrifice and we got to take a step on it. It doesn't necessarily mean it's right, but if you really want to stay with the person you're with and it's not that much of a big deal, sometimes you just got to take a step back on it. We're going to revisit this again. Matter of fact, Jackie, we need to revisit this tomorrow with you because this is like this is a topic that you can't just stop talking about.
Well, we're going to do it a little different. Tomorrow is tell me how you like it. And, you know, it's going to be from the perspective of, you know what, I'm going to tell you everything I want. I'm going to tell you everything I like. I'm going to tell you everything I need. And when I tell you what I need and I tell you what I want, you can know from the door. See, this way we don't have any issues. If you want to come and play, you can come and play. And if you can't hang, you can't hang.
Well, y'all heard it. Tomorrow night, call in. You know, once again, you know, the Every Woman Talk Show, we had a great show. Thanks, Jack, for calling in. Daz, thanks for holding down. Thanks for all my listeners. We had Bronx in the house. We had Georgia in the house, Atlanta in the house. We had Kansas in the house. We had a little bit of everything. Well, we'll tune in next week. Let me go to sleep and think what I'm going to talk about next week. Peace out.
Good night.
Tune in and listen to Uli Wells and guests as they do the Every Woman Talk Show. The show spouts out every Tuesday night here on Shadow World Radio.
I was so excited when I was asked to be the host of the Every Woman Talk Show. I think it's a forum where we get a chance to express everything. But the funny thing about it for me is, even though it's hosted by a woman, it's not just for women. I like the views of men and women. I mean, we talk about things from relationships. You can't get one point of view. You have to get both points of view. So it's a show that I think is very versatile. We talk about politics, relationships, money. We talk about all kinds of things. So it's a show I think that everybody would like to listen to. So listen in. Hi, it's Uli Wells from the Every Woman Talk Show, and you're listening to Shadow World.